Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We were just talking about the schools and good feelings and community rootedness and all of that. Well, there's apparently a very scary situation developing in one school in the Bronx at this hour, and we'll tell you what we know. Apparently, somebody has barricaded themselves in the new Millennium Business Academy Middle School in the Bronx. That school has been evacuated as police are on the scene, and we'll bring you any details about the situation there as we get them. But it's going to be over 80 degrees this weekend, so it's time to break out the bikes. Of course, some people I know bicycled all through the winter, but they are hardier souls than me. But wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to grease the chain, pump up the tires, carry the thing up and down your four-story walk-up? Well, cities around the world are trying new bike-sharing systems where bikes are stationed at various locations around the city for public use. You take the bike, ride it to your destination, and leave it there for another rider to use. So could that work here in New York? Well, the Department of City Planning has just released their feasibility report on a possible bike-sharing program, and the findings look pretty good, especially if you're a bike advocate. So joining me now is one, Paul Steely-White, Executive Director of Transportation Alternatives, the group that's been working on trying to get a bike-sharing program here for years. Hey, Paul, welcome back to WNYC.
It's great to be back.
Explain how this version would work.
Well, bike share, public bike share as it's known, really has more in common with mass transit than with bicycling. There are stations everywhere, every three or four blocks. It's easy to enter and exit the system, swiping your equivalent of a Metro card. And it's really just the easiest way to get from A to B, as Parisians are discovering.
And the idea is that people would be using these bikes to commute to work? It would become an integrated part of the public transit system? Is that your vision?
That's the idea. It's really bikes as public transit. So forget everything you've known about bicycling. You mentioned pumping up the tires, greasing the chain, also trying to find a place to store your bike when you get to your destination. All that hassle is gone.
Who would maintain those bikes in the sharing program? Somebody's got to do it.
Well, in Paris, they actually employ legions of young people to maintain and operate the system. It's a great job creation program. And it's a combination of city infrastructure and city management and private contractors that operate the system.
How widespread is it there? I mean, when you're talking about every three or four blocks,
right.
I mean, that is some complex vision in the city of New York.
Well, you know, the notion started in Amsterdam in the late 1960s as a sort of hippy-dippy community bike program, and all the bikes, of course, ended up in the canals. Over the years, cities have tried smaller-scale bike share with some accountability where you use your credit card and so forth. But Paris 2 years ago really discovered the key to unlocking the success of this. It's that you need station coverage. It has to operate like a transit system. So people know that wherever they're going from, there's going to be a station to get a bike or return a bike. So that's really the key, is making it ubiquitous.
In Paris, is it called the Vélib program?
Vélib, and it's a combination of vélo, bicycle, and liberté or libre, freedom.
And they have almost 21,000 bikes in use, is the stat that I saw.
Absolutely. 20,000 bikes, almost 21,000. They're expanding it to the inner ring suburbs later this year, about 1,500 stations. But it's also interesting what's happening socially in Paris. People are getting to know each other through the stations. There's an emerging single scene where people are figuring out the system and chatting with one another. And then at stoplights, you see cyclists actually stopping for red lights now and sort of conversing with their fellow citizens. It's a beautiful thing.
And in China, they have the Hangzhou public bicycle system, increasing their inventory to as many as 50,000 bikes in that big city. All right, how many bikes do you think New York City would need to have an effective bike share system?
No, I think the Department of City Planning has done a really excellent job of laying out some scenarios, you know, for how it could work in New York. And what they're proposing for scenario one, phase one, is, you know, about 10,000 bikes, looking at, you know, Manhattan south of 80th Street, maybe a little bit of Northwest Brooklyn included in that, you know, several hundred stations. And, you know, you want to start in the densest part of the city. So I think that's a smart move. And then expanding it from there.
Listeners, would you use this program? Have you ever used a bike sharing system in another city or another country? We would love to hear what the experiences were like. If you did, tell us about it. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or comment on our comments page at WNYC.org. click on Brian Lehrer's show, as one listener did, who identifies herself by zip code. Instead of saying HJS from Brooklyn, I guess, she wrote HJS from 11211. And let's see, where is 11? I think it's Brooklyn. Bikers should demand a dedicated bike lane with a raised curb to protect themselves from reckless drivers. Different agenda, but I know it's on your radar.
Actually,
screen.
It's a very similar to bike share. You know, in Paris, it's not just about the stations or the bikes. It's also about building dedicated bikeways or cycle tracks, as we call them, so that average people can discover the joys and efficiencies of cycling. And this can't work in New York unless we're building that kind of safe infrastructure.
You know, we had on the show recently someone from General Motors talking about that new experimental car that they unveiled in conjunction with the people who make the Segway.
Right.
So like a Segway, it would run on two parallel wheels, not four wheels. It's amazing that it won't fall over.
You know,
and yet the guy said on the show, the General Motors representative actually said here, that in order for make this work in New York City, and this is what they were advocating, that the city would have to designate special lanes for these battery-operated low-speed vehicles. And my response to him was, they can't even come up with the bike lanes that are actually separated from traffic. They're going to do it for a separate kind of car?
And we can barely accommodate all the pedestrian traffic we have with wide enough sidewalks. You know, the fact is that we already have a zero-emission, efficient, great way to get around. It's called the bicycle, and we just need to start providing for it.
Marie in Brooklyn, you did this in Paris?
Hi, yes, I did. It's great. I really love this system. It's really easy to use. The way that it works is you use a credit card for like a short ride, or if you're a resident, you have kind of a resident subscription that you pay a small fee for. I think it's about 30 euros a year, so that's pretty affordable. And you can use that bike to go anywhere. And one thing I've heard about the system in Paris is that it's been really helpful for women who want to go out at night, because you know that you have a good chance of getting home, you know, more safely. You don't have to rely on getting a cab, which can be difficult in Paris. So I really appreciate that, you know, as a woman, to be able to just go out and have that liberty to just use the city.
Of course, if you're riding at night, I hope those bikes have good headlights.
They do. They have a headlight and a taillight, and it's kind of a granny bike. It's not like a trick bike you're going to do anything that exciting on, but, you know, it feels safe and solid.
Absolutely, and I think that's an interesting point. It's a granny bike. There was an article in the New York Times last week about the proliferation of Dutch-style sort of older gentleman bikes that are making a comeback, and I think that's really part and parcel to what we're talking about. It's bikes as everyday transportation.
Elise in West Harlem, you're on WNYC. You used a bike share system where?
I used a system in Barcelona,
mm-hmm.
and where my brother lives, and it's fabulous. And their bike lanes are set aside, and everybody respects that.
When you say set aside, is it what our commenter wrote about, where there's actually a raised barrier between the car lanes and the bike lane?
Yes, and on the raised barrier are tons of scooters and motorcycles where they park.
Huh, so maybe the GM thing and the cars and the bicycles could actually integrate.
But there's another, I have another suggestion, which is may sound a little crazy. I'd be interested to see what other people think about this. One of the problems as a cyclist in the city is that drivers don't see us. And I also rollerblade everywhere. And if the drivers all had to, before they could get their license, take a bicycle test and actually bike in Manhattan so they'd understand what it's like before they get in the car, there'd be kind of an understanding, perhaps, taxi drivers especially.
I think that's a great idea. We're actually talking to the state DMV about changing their driver's test so that there are more questions pertaining to bicycling, so people start noticing bikes. You know, one of the interesting things about Belib in Paris and about bike share around the world is that the more cyclists are on the street, the safer it becomes. About every time you triple the number of cyclists, you're halving the crash rate. And that's because of that very notion that motorists become accustomed to looking over their shoulder every time they turn because there's likely to be a bicyclist
there. And don't forget about those doors. You got to watch those parked cars, bikers. You think you're going to get hit by the moving vehicle, you're really going to get hit by the parked one as the driver is getting out of the car and you don't expect it, which is actually probably the main reason for wanting the raised barriers, because that's really what the barrier separates you from as much as anything. It's the lane of parked cars, isn't it?
Absolutely. You're not riding in the door zone anymore.
Scott in Harrison used the bike share program much closer to home than Paris or Barcelona. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I actually got to use it twice before they stopped the program in Princeton. people said, oh, boy, free bikes. And they took the bikes and they spray painted them and they ripped off whatever identification and we never saw them again. So
you know,
what's going to stop that here in New York City?
There's no crime in New York City anymore. Didn't you know that?
Oh, excuse me.
Well, actually, even in Paris, where they have built some accountability into the system, where the system knows who you are, and when you return a bike, there's a docking mechanism, so it locks itself. It's a bit of trial and error. They're learning how to insulate the system from theft, and I think we're already learning those lessons. In Denver, they just signed a contract to start a bike share in Denver, and the docking stations they're using there are very secure. So hopefully, these new systems are solving that problem.
So when the state and the city are in the middle of a budget crisis, how is a bike sharing program even feasible financially?
Well, I think the first thing to point out is that in terms of the investment required to make this happen, it's really a fraction of the cost that we currently pay for other transit projects that are serving about the same number of riders. I mean, Second Avenue Subway, $2 billion per mile to build that. I mean, the capital cost for doing bike share in New York, for what city planning outlined, 10,000 bikes roughly. We're talking about $30 to $40 million in capital costs and maybe about $18 to $20 million ongoing. A lot of that, the majority of that, could be paid with corporate sponsorships, as other cities are doing, and also user fees, charging a modest fee. As your caller said, in Paris, it's about €30 for annual subscription, and then it's free for the first half hour, and then maybe a dollar or two an hour after that. So really, it's possible to fund this on the cheap, and the stations are getting less expensive all the time. Instead of digging into the street and wiring everything, it's possible now, as Montreal is doing with their Bixi system, to use solar and wireless technology. So you're just sort of planting the station
there.
And
what would the fee be? What do other cities charge the users per use?
It's about $40 to $60 per year.
And so you buy a one-year kind of unlimited bike share pass.
Well, it's not unlimited use. What you're buying is the right to use the system. And then every time you take a bike out, check a bike out, it's your first half hour is free, and then you incur a charge for every half hour after that.
Since you're with Transportation Alternatives, let me ask you a big picture question, because
sure.
I know the city has had a bicycle master plan for over 10 years now, and of course, the lanes do seem to be springing up everywhere these days. There's a lot of progress. I discovered one. You already knew about this, I'm sure, but I just recently discovered a great bike lane that starts in Van Cortlandt Park in the Bronx
sure.
and goes north, completely separated from traffic. It's near the Henry Hudson, but it's not on it. Completely separated from traffic, goes across the county line into Westchester and up much further than I took it. So there's one great one. But supposedly it would include something like 1,800 miles of bike lanes around the five boroughs. And then Mayor Bloomberg promised to add an additional 200 miles. So where are we currently at with the master bike plan?
Well, right now the city is not planning to complete those 1,800 miles until the year 2030. And, we're going to be too old to bike around by then. So we need to accelerate that timeline and recognize that for average people to start bicycling, we need these kinds of protected lanes, like you said, near Van Cortlandt Park. We need those lanes everywhere so that people can link up their destinations wherever they're going. So really, it's an opportunity with bike share to do both of these things simultaneously, where you're building the infrastructure, but you're also making it much easier for people to actually hop on these public bikes and discover how easy and convenient and cheap it is to ride. In Paris, over 60% of users of this system are citing affordability as their main reason for doing it.
And the news that prompted us to have this conversation today was the revelation of the existence of a feasibility study. I think they're not even really talking about it publicly yet. But now we know that this feasibility study is being circulated in the Bloomberg administration. They say it's still in the early planning stages. So what do you think is the next step or a realistic timeline?
Well, I think that, as you point out, other agencies and the mayor's office are looking at the study. I think it's emerging as a great example of how city government can work, where one, agency does a terrific study and the other agencies are talking to each other, talking about how they can link up and make it happen. I think one key stat that's going to enable everyone to embrace this is that there was a recent Department of Health survey that discovered that 9% of New Yorkers are already riding their bikes a few times a month.
But what if we have a lot more? We just have a minute left, but here are two skeptics. One on our comments page says that's all we need is unexperienced bikers in the densest part of the city. Pedestrians beware. And Raul in Fairfield, you had a bad experience, right? You have to tell us in 15 seconds, unfortunately.
Sure. What happened was a couple of months ago, I was driving my car in the city, and, you know, one of these pedicabs, I'm sure you've seen them, the cycle pedals.
Yeah, the bicycle-driven rickshaws.
Yeah. You know, they came and scraped the side of my car. I ended up taking about $2,500 of damage on it.
And I have to leave it there, but Paul Steely White, what about the proliferation of bicycles and the potential danger that that creates, unexperienced riders and all?
Well, I think London's a great example where they have a borough-by-borough bike education program. You know, the fact is that the more people that are out there riding, the safer and easier it becomes for everyone. May is Bike Month, so just around the corner, there's lots of opportunities to get out there and ride in groups and ride with a friend. And we're starting a bike buddy system at Transportation Alternative so you can link up with people in your neighborhood.
And you saw the weather forecast. 70s today, then 80 for the next 4 days. So I think April's going to be Bike Month starting right now. Paul Steely White, Executive Director of Transportation Alternatives.
Thanks,
Thank you very much, Brian Lehrer on WNYC.